Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful words. And thank you, Christ, Yahushua Mashiach, for redeeming us and making us holy, that we can receive holy Ruach, Ruach HaKodesh. And through you we come to our Father. Amen. And that's so significant, what we just did. Oh, I've got to turn the light. Hold on. Oh, it's kind of dark over here. Tonight we're going to do sharing on Yahweh's presence manifested. And actually, what we just heard, you didn't see it, but what we heard in this group is actually Yahweh's presence in manifestation. And or it's Yahweh's habitation, his dwelling place. And so what we're going to look at is first, where we saw it was in Exodus, about being in the cloud. That Yahweh, which we're going to read, over the temple, or the tent of the meetings, the cloud would be in the wilderness 40 years over the temple, and that showed the presence of Yahweh, his habitation. So we're going to go to there, Exodus 40.
Did you say Exodus 40?
Yeah, chapter 40, Exodus chapter 40. And so the point being, you know, Yahweh's presence was there. Mankind, anybody who is seeking Yahweh, wants his manifested presence. We know Yahweh's on the earth, but I can't identify any particular place. And that's too vague for me. So I want to see his manifest presence. And the cloud did that. And we're going to see through the ages how it's transformed to what we have today. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, this is the last chapter. And Exodus, remember, it covered the first 2 years of the Exodus only. The temple, the tent of meetings was put up, and so we're going to see in 33 to 38, and he reared the court round about to the habitation and to the altar. So great, the habitation of Yahweh. Wow, he's going to dwell here. Whew. And put, not in the Milky Way, you know, not in our universe, but right here. And put up the screen of the gate of the court, and Moses finished the work. Then did the cloud cover the tent of meetings. That's it. And the glory of Yahweh filled the habitation. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud had made its habitation thereupon. And the glory of Yahweh filled the habitation. The manifestations we just had tonight was the glory of Yahweh filling the habitation, which is in your body, your body, your body. Anybody that manifested was the glory of Yahweh in the habitation. 36, and whensoever the cloud ascended from off the habitation, then did the sons of Israel set forward in all their journeys. But if the cloud did not ascend, then did they not set forward until the day when it did ascend. For the cloud of Yahweh was upon the habitation by day, and a fire came to be by night therein, in the sight of all the house of Israel, and all their journeyings. So that's 40 years of this manifestation. And so whenever they start complaining, think about that, even when they start complaining, no water or something to that effect, the cloud's still here.
Yeah.
The cloud's right there. Yahweh's, what are you doing? Complaining. Yahweh hasn't left us. And we're looking at, with Christianity today, you know, just Melania just talked about her friend, and there's some dead nun who was, you know, they just dug up, and her body looked like it never died, and so it's supposed to be some miracle. And so people are going to go see this. And what people are looking for is a physical manifestation of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. All of us want a physical touch of Yahweh. But that's not the physical touch of Yahweh. I'm going to see a dead person. But he has given us evidence and proof, and the majority of the church today reject the physical presence of Yahweh. They don't want the cloud. And they do, but they won't do it because there's going to be pressure put upon them. And we'll see that. So let's go to Exodus 25. And so we're going to look at the presence and manifestation of Yahweh. and messages given. So whenever we're going to see Yahweh, it's always what we're going to say, oratory. It's a speaking of Yahweh and speaking, which we're going to see, and it's called the message. Exodus 25, let's see here, 22. Now, I just don't want to see a cloud. I want instruction. So I want more than just that. I want to be able to know, am I on the right road or wrong road? I need help. Are you listening? Let's see here. 25:22. And this is Yahweh speaking, and we're going to be looking at the word debar, the Hebrew word debar, which is going to be in here. When he says speak, that's the word debar, and we're all going to hear the word debir, D-B-I-R. And so it's important that, okay, here's the cloud, here's a physical manifestation of Yahweh, now what? I want to hear from you, I want instructions, I want your law, I want direction, and that's what he's going to do. And Yahweh talking to Moses, and I will meet with you there, and will speak debar with thee from off the propitiatory, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. Whatsoever I may give thee in charge for the sons of Israel. So we're all going to be looking at the speaking of Yahweh to us. And you hear the word testimony. I've always passed over that. I've always heard of the Ark of the Covenant, and you're reading the Ark of the Covenant. But this isn't the Ark of the Covenant. It is, but it's called the Ark of the Testimony. And the testimony comes with the word witness, to witness, which is a speaking of something. And so, when Yahweh spoke on the mountain, that he gave the 10 words, which is also called, that is the testimony. He was going to call the 2 tablets. You have the ark, but what's in the ark? It's the 2 tablets. And what is that called? The ark of the testimony, the witness that's speaking to us every day of our lives. Are you adhering to this? Are you adhering to this? And so we saw that. So debar means the whole message. In the first usage is Genesis 15:1. There is another word called amar, A-M-A-R, and in Genesis 1:2 it said, and God said, that's not debar, that is amar, and it means to say or talk. So debar means a whole message.
Is it D-E-B-I-R?
Yeah, D-A-B-A-R, debar. Now we saw, okay, so this is the ark, and now we're going to see Jerusalem is where you go. First Chronicles 23, his habitation was moved to Jerusalem. First Chronicles 23:25. For said David, Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, hath given rest unto his people, and hath taken up his habitation, his dwelling place, in Jerusalem, unto times age abiding. Okay, so now his habitation is in Jerusalem, and we're going to find out, we don't have to go here, but I'm going to give you some other references. That's going to be his permanent abiding place. And that's in Joel 3:17. We're not going there. And Zechariah 8:3. Not going there. And then we know that in Revelation 22. Excuse me. The new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. Yahushua is in Jerusalem in chapter 21. And so Jerusalem is a hot spot. Right today is not, I think we looked it up, I think 2% Christians. It's Jerusalem, or Jerusalem is full of Antichrist, except for tourists or Christian. The Antichrist are people who do what?
Deny the Son.
And do Muslims deny the Son? Mm. Yes. Do Hebrews or Ibris deny the Son? Yeah. Yes, they do. So their Jerusalem right now, his habitation, his future habitation, is full of the opposite, Antichrist.
It's infested.
Now we go into the Debir. And we're still thinking about Yahweh's dwelling place is the spoken word. Because what delivers all of us is information. So think of that. Information for making the wrong decision and information for making the right decision. And information to do the right thing and be at the right place at the right time. So think of this. And so here's Isaiah or Melania, the youngest. They are the Debir, or where Yahweh speaks is in them. Now think of that. And so does the world know that? And so we've got to realize who we are, because I don't feel anything many times. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. By exercising it and by acting out, it will become manifest that there's power in me and information in me that I don't know about. But it comes out and it saves my life, or it makes me do this, or it makes me do this, it leads me to do this. It finds the right job. It stops me from going to the wrong job. It removes me from certain people. It brings me to certain people. And in most cases, we think it's just my mind. And not, if we're in tuned, we're going to be at the right place at the right time with the right gear and the right information always. That's the perfect, what we're trying to go for. So the Debir is, and we're going to say 1 Kings chapter 6. The Holy of Holies, and where the Ark of the Testimony is also called the Debir. And that Debir is, Young's will translate it as the Oracle.
It's not the same as Debar.
It comes from Debar. Yeah, it comes from Debar.
The jewelry family?
Well, now think of this, yeah, but Debir, yeah. That's interesting is the Oracle. And so now we're seeing in a lot of science fiction movies, the Oracle. And the Oracle, the word became spoken word. But now it's come out to mean that somebody who has a God within them. And you went and sought the Oracle. And so we just did a study on Alexander the Great in Egypt. And when he took over Egypt, he went to the Oracle. And he had to go through, you know, the desert to find the oracle, and then speak to me, oracle. And you're wanting a divine word. Guess what? You're the oracle. Yeah. You're called an oracle. I'm called an oracle. We're going to see that.
Okay, 1 Kings what?
16, or chapter 6. A little bit behind. And we're going to see the word Debir all the way through. This, whenever you see the word sanctuary, it's the word Debir, or shrine, not sanctuary, but shrine. So the only person who does this right is Young's, and I think the ASV. And obviously I think they're going to think it's difficult to, people are going to get lost if they translate that way, but they got it. That's what the word is, Debir. And so we're going to see, let me see here, verse 2. Now the house which King Solomon built unto Yahweh, and then this our context, the house of Yahweh. Now we go to, verse 5. And he built by the wall of the house a gallery round about against the walls of the house, round about both to the temple and to the shrine. That's the Holy of Holies. The temple is the whole area. I think it's like supposed to be like 25 acres. I think 20 or 30 acres. It's like football fields you can put in this. But the Holy of Holies is the Debir. And they would translate oracle. We go to, let's see here, verse 16, same chapter. And he built 20 cubits in the hinder part of the house with boards of cedar from the floor as far as the crossbeam. And he built it within for a Debir, or oracle, even for the Holy of Holies. And so, when Moses went into the tent of meetings, Yahweh spoke to him. This is what it's all about. It's not a God who was, and we have plaques of what happened. It's a God who is. And so when Moses went in, Yahweh said, I spoke to him mouth to mouth. Wow. And so it's always an action to speak. And it goes into verse 19. We don't have to go there. Verse 20, 21, 22, 23, and 31. So it's the word debir all the way through this. So when you look at the Septuagint, and they say, how are you going to translate debir? And they translate naos. And naos is what we're going to see in the Greek New Testament as called shrine or temple. So, okay, so whenever we see the word shrine or temple in the New Covenant, it's the word debir. And so it's not a place, it's what's coming out of that place. So a big difference. It's not the place that's holy, it's what's alive in this place. And what comes out of this place, which is the voice, or the communication, I would say not even the voice, but the communication of Yahweh, because Christ paid the price for us to receive Holy Ruach. And so the free gift, and my really thing is not life age abiding, I really see, the free gift is Ruach. Mm-hmm. And the only people who could receive Ruach, HaKodesh, Ruach the Holy, or the breath, remember spirit means breath, the only people who were able to receive it is you had to be holy. And most of us are not going to live to that capacity, but then by Christ paying the ultimate sacrifice, he made us all holy, which automatically gave us Ruach, HaKodesh. And the only reason I have it is because of Christ. Mm-hmm. David had it because of his works. King Solomon, or Saul, Uel, had it because of his works. The prophets had it because of their works. So very few people had it. So when you want to hear Yahweh, where'd you go? In the Old Covenant.
To the prophets.
To the prophets. To the prophets. And that was, we're not going to go there. It's Jeremiah 37:17. The king Zedekiah called for Jeremiah and said, is there a word of Yahweh? And so he's coming really to the debir. Mm-hmm. Is there a word from Yahweh? And he's saying, surrender. And so a lot of people will say, I need a word from Yahweh. And you give it to them, they go, nah.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, is there anything else there? And that was a case was in also in Jeremiah when they, you know, all were led captive. The guys came in and killed Nebuchadnezzar's ruler, and they wanted to flee to Egypt. And so they asked Jeremiah, and that's chapter 42 of Jeremiah, should we go to Egypt or we stay here? So the story is, should we go to Egypt or stay here? And they said, well, the Chaldeans are going to be mad because this other person killed your leader, and they're going to kill us. And they said, go ask Yahweh. It took 10 days for Jeremiah to get the word. And they said, whatever Yahweh says, we will do. This is the church today in our own lives. And he brought him to them and said, don't go to Egypt. Stay right here. You're safe. And they said, you lie. You lie. It's just, and not only are you lying, we're going to Egypt. We're taking you with us.
Yeah. Poor Jeremiah.
Yeah. And that's people today. So don't be surprised when, as the oracle of Yahweh, our website's like that all the time. We're giving out the truth of Yahweh. We're speaking through his words. And people take it. People don't take it. And people try to demolish it.
And
so they hate it. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 3. So what about us? Where is Yahweh today? Or before that, let's go to John 2:19. The debir was Christ. Yeah, before us, before the age of the sacred secret. John 2. And everybody knows this. Take down this tent, or temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So 2:19-21. Now, we must remember, this chapter is not literal. So we've gone through that with the book of John. It's Yohanan, which Yo is for Yahweh, and Hanan means favor. Yahweh favor. That's what the word John means. It's supposed to be Yohanan. If you want to know about the book of John, you have to read the article. But 19, Yahushua answered and said unto them, take down this debir, is naos, but naos represents Debir. And in 3 days will I raise it up. So where was Yahweh? He was in Christ. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Yahweh was in Christ, reconciling the Word unto himself. If I want to hear from Yahweh, where did I go? I went to Christ or his apostles. You hanging in there, Elijah?
Yep.
I know. I have to work and stuff like that. Sorry to doing that. Okay, well, good. And then in 14:10, John chapter 14, verse 10. I have to tell you about me once I'm nodding off at a convention. I was on the front. I'm on the front row. Go figure. I'm always on the front row. Nobody wants to sit there. Oh, by the way, you guys, Central Community Church is superb.
Yeah.
I mean, on the singing stuff, they got a 9 o'clock service and an 11 o'clock service, and you can eat breakfast there. I mean, they serve...
sausage biscuits.
Yeah, sausage biscuits for $2. They serve cinnamon rolls for $1.50. Coffee is free. They have the most superb music you can ever imagine that's happening. And so at 9 o'clock, we're usually at the 9 o'clock service, but if you come between 9 and 11, you can have breakfast.
And then 11 go in.
After 11, there's no breakfast.
There's a courtyard there.
But yeah, and the teachings are very good, so I'm really surprised. I really encourage you to Central Community on Maple. You just take Ridge right on down and cut left on the Maple. Really give it a shot.
Pastor 6'5".
Yeah, he is. And Phil Stacy, who was on The Voice, professional music.
American Idol.
Or American Idol, is the leader of the music. And so you've got a choir of 80 singers. And they have violins and cellos and just fabulous stuff. So that won't interest anybody here, sorry. Unless you were
going to say you were sitting on the front row.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I'm like this, and I'm and the guy came out, and he goes, oh, but on a table, really loud. It'll be a lot louder than that. I'm like, okay. And it woke me up, but then I had to get in the back. Because there's nothing worse than somebody, oh, my God. There's nothing worse for a teacher to say, help that poor soul. He's just passing out. But he tried. But I did get up. Okay. Yeah, back to that. 14:10, John 14:10. And Dr. Rorwell used to say, if you see somebody fall asleep in your service, it means they're very peaceful. So don't get upset.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to look at it, too.
We're just tired.
They came.
Yeah, we're just tired. Yeah.
I'll sleep in that if that's not peaceful.
Okay.
No, so I went in the bathroom one time.
In the right place.
Yeah, it is. 14.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The things which I am saying, so there's saying unto you, there is Yahweh. For myself I speak not, but the Father who is in me abiding doeth his works. So what's coming out of my mouth is Yahweh. And so what's coming out of Elijah's mouth is Yahweh at the workplace. And people are just shocked. You know, if we got to be in tune, we got to be able to be seeking and just be in fellowship, and that will happen. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah, Izzy usually gets up early, so early service. I get there at 8:30.
9 o'clock's not early.
No, I know. I get there. We get there at 8:30. You can have a cinnamon roll, a cup of coffee, and 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, you're done. If you want to eat a meal, you can have a meal, fellowship with people. They have a whole cafeteria there. Everybody associates with. I'd really give it a shot. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now it's us. So it was the cloud. It was the tent of meetings where Yahweh was. It was Jerusalem where Yahweh abode, his habitation. Obviously, in the prophets, It was manifested in Ruach HaKodesh and Christ. It was obviously manifested. Christ was the Debir, and guess what?
Now we are.
We are the Debir now, because Christ isn't here. What an honor, honor, honor. And the problem that people have, how do we know that? Prophecy. Comes with an interpretation. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom.
Yeah.
Discerning the spirits. Faith, miracles, and healings. 9 proofs of the abiding Ruach. That's how they know it's there. And so when a person should say, I need a word, or, you know, I'm speak to me, and I'm coming to you to hear from my Father. And David had the same situation. Many times he had the Ruach, but all of a sudden Gad would give him the message, or Nathan would give him the message. And so we've got to realize, if I'm not quite sure, I need a word, and that's where I'm going to the oracle, to the Debir of where Yahweh abides.
That's why my brother called.
Yeah, that's right. And so we got 3:16. Know you not that you are a Debir of Yahweh, and that the Ruach of Yahweh within you does dwell? The habitation of Yahweh is the Ruach. It dwells in you. It speaks in you. Chapter 6, verse 19. Let's see, 6, verse 19. Know ye not that your body is a debir of the Holy Spirit that is within you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? Wow, just think of this. And the problem with most churches, we're not going to do the tongues, we're not going to do the manifestation of the Spirit, so people are looking for dead bodies. They're looking for anything that would give them a sign that, are you there? You know, there's a movie out there, Are You There, God? Margaret?
Yeah.
Are you there, God? And it's just this, and it was all, you're turning it down.
Yeah.
Now we go to 2 Corinthians 6:16. And then people speak in tongues, but they don't interpret and they don't prophesy. You can do it all. You have the Ruach. It's just the lack of teaching, lack of faith. So 6:16. Let's see. And what agreement has the Debir of Yahweh with idols? For we are the Debir of an Elohim that liveth. Wow. We are the shrine. We are the holy of holies of a God that liveth. How do I know he liveth? Because I can manifest.
9 manifestations.
Yeah, 9 manifestations of that. Ephesians 2:21. In whom an entire building and process is being fitly joined together is growing into a holy Debir in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a habitation. Look at that. There it all is. Into a habit, a dwelling place of God, where? In spirit, in Ruach. I got the spirit. That means Yahweh's abiding in me. I've got information for all. You know, if I'm in tune, I got information in all situations. I can help people. Every place I go, I can tune in and say anything I need to do here, Father. You know, now we go to 1 Corinthians 14. Back to 1 Corinthians 14. And here it is. Let's say here, 24 and 25, in which we just manifested. But if all be prophesying, and there come in one, you know, okay, 1 Corinthians 12 is about Ruach. 13 is Ahab, not agape, but Ahab. And then 14 is about Ruach. And so here's the sandwich, like an Oreo. You got Ruach, 9 manifestations of it. You got the juicy center inside, which is Ahab, which would be love, but not the love that we use. And then you've got the application for the church, for the body of the Christ, is 14. And he says, covet to prophesy. Why? Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love. Pursue Ahab. It's not agape. Nevertheless, be. Now, in the Greek, it will say agape. But remember, the prophets were Hebrews, and Ahab is greater than agape. Ahab is the Hebrew word. thou shalt hob Yahweh thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That is the first commandment. And so when Yahushua quotes that, in the Greek it's going to say agape. In the Hebrew it's ahab. Ahab is not only agape, ahab is not only agape, it's eros and also phileo. It encompasses all of it. Another subject. And rather that ye be prophesying, right? 3, but he that prophesies unto men does speak edification, that's building up, and exhortation and comfort. That is the debir of Yahweh. That is the debir, the oracle of Yahweh. 24 and 25. But if all be prophesying, there coming one who is unbelieving or unskilled. Watch out. He's coming in, and he's going to see something supernatural happen. He is convicted by all. He is searched by all. The secrets of his heart becoming manifest. And so falling down upon his face, he will do homage unto Yahweh, reporting that in reality, Yahweh is among you. Isn't that great? Wow. Okay. Spirit abides within me. That's Yahweh abiding in me. The dwelling place is us, each individually. Now, then with us, we're working with it. And then at the end, in Revelations 21, 22, and 27, is there'll be no more oracle because Yahweh is living with us now.
Yeah.
And so now there's no more sun, neither moon, light, we want anything. It's all there. Yahweh's right with us. So that's the combination of it. Now, we've got, right a little bit late, but we got Mark 13:11 and talking about the Holy Spirit speaking, and that's the oracle. John 14:27, Ruach, it will teach you. Acts 1:8 is, you shall be baptized with power, spirit, that is to say power. So power comes with spirit. If you have spirit and you don't have power, it's because you're not exercising it. It's your fault. It's laying dormant. It's no different than a cell phone that you don't know how to use. You got all the power of many, many things, but if you don't, it doesn't mean you don't have the power. No, I've got the power. You don't have the knowledge, or you lack the faith to exercise it. And one last thing. There's something also. Let's go to, it's called exousia or authority. Matthew 10:1. So we know what power is, but I think most of us lack what they call authority. As ambassadors of Christ, as the body of Christ, he is the head, we are the members. And you saw Nefarious, and some of you guys need to see Nefarious. And that is a demonic individual. Because since I am the body of Christ, I must see myself as the body of Christ. Does a demon cringe if Christ is in the room?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Because we as his hands and feet, we have been given the authority to act in his behalf. So my authority is Christ's authority. And so when you saw in the movie, a priest comes in and the demon's really afraid of the priest. And then he finds out the priest doesn't believe in demons. And he goes, oh, good. And that was it. So never be afraid of a demon. All right, because we have the authority of Christ. You've got to look at not my power. It's the authority that I've been given.
It's living inside of you.
Yeah, I don't have a sword. I don't have a machine gun. But what I've got inside of me, I'm the body of Christ. You don't stand a chance. And if you don't practice that and meditate upon that and think that I am the body of the Christ within me, and so Christ can tell, you know, Isaiah and some demonic person, and you say, freeze, in the name of Mashiach Yahushua. And that guy is powerless, if that's what Yahweh tells you to do. And Paul blinded the guy because of the demonic forces in the person. And he's instantly blind. So whatever Yahweh says, You know, these guys were not afraid of demons. And so we've got to be able to exercise it. And so you see in the authority, exousia, is Matthew 10. 1, it's kind of opened up to me, and I thought, look at this. He doesn't give them power, he gives them authority. Now watch this. And calling near his 12 disciples, he gave them what?
Authority.
Not power, but authority over impure spirits. And so to be casting them out, and also authority to be curing every disease and every infirmity. Wow. And it says over and over again. So the difference is with Elijah, with 10 guys against a policeman, he does not have the power, but he has the authority. Because Wichita has given him the authority that we must submit to what he says. I can't overpower you, but my authority will overpower you. And so, okay, so we submit to one guy, not that we can't take him, but we don't want to take, we cannot take the city of Wichita.
Right.
Yeah. And so we can take, maybe you can't take over to Christ. And so that's, and they know that. They're smarter than they know it. They know that. And so let's go to Matthew 28:18.
King James translates that power though, right?
Yeah, they'll do power many times. And no, it's exousia. Dunamis is power, and exousia is authority. Authority is very big. 28:18. And we'll end here.
Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew 28:18. 27, 21-4. And Yahushua coming near spake unto them, saying, all authority, exousia, in heaven and earth hath been given unto me. Okay. And he's my head. And so all I need is somebody out there actually believe it, and you need to exercise that.
Yeah.
And how do you exercise that? By believing it. And by speaking it, and things flee.
It's like putting him on speakerphone. Me on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Donald E. Trump.
So we're in there. Oh, one place, and a person, if you want to read more about the De Beer, it is, there's an article we've got, the Holy of Holies, De Beer, where Yahweh speaks. Yahweh is alive, Christ is alive. And he can be alive in your life if you haven't exercised that authority. And go to our site to learn how to speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, and operate the other 9 manifestations. So we're going to hear from our Father right now as the oracle. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. So rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, because in you abides Ruach HaKodesh. In you is my Son. In you is me. I abide within you. But you must exercise that. You must develop it. You must adhere to it. You must be in tune to it to go ahead and manifest it. So come forth diligently, seeking, asking, knocking, and I will open all the doors for you. Amen. I'll see you next week.